Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, the 2nd of May, Hamas says the ceasefire negotiations with Israel will be halted if Israel attacks Rafah in the southern Gaza Strip. British authorities have started to detain migrants in preparation for them to be sent to Rwanda in the next 9 to 11 weeks. And Pope Francis tells primates of the Anglican Communion that even the very earliest Christians had their disagreements. In the Vatican, I am Francesca Merlo. Opening with the war in Gaza, rebuilding homes in the Gaza Strip could drag into the next century if the pace follows the trend of previous conflicts, and this is according to a UN report released today. Nearly 7 months of Israeli bombardment have caused billions of dollars in damage, leaving many of the crowded strip's high-rise concrete buildings reduced to heaps, with a UN official referring to a moonscape of destruction. Meanwhile, Hamas has said that the ceasefire negotiations with Israel would be halted if Israel attacks Rafah in the southern Gaza Strip. Nathan Morley reports.
In comments to Al Manar television in Beirut, Osama Hamdan, a senior official in Hamas, said that the group would pause all indirect negotiations with Israel if it launched military operations against Rafah. Earlier, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he would enter Rafah and remove the Hamas battalions with or without a deal. For his part, the US Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said that the United States opposed the Israeli plan to launch a ground assault in Rafah. Meanwhile, on Thursday, Egyptian media reported that progress was being made in the ongoing truce talks, but it did not provide more detail. Elsewhere, Israel released 64 Palestinians who were arrested during military operations in Gaza. During the ongoing ground action, Israeli troops have arrested hundreds of Palestinians and moved them to unknown destinations, according to Palestinian media. Israel commenced a large-scale offensive against Hamas in Gaza to hit back against the Hamas rampage, which took place in southern Israel in October last year. 1,200 people were killed and more than 200 others were taken captive. Now the Palestinian death count from the continuing Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip has risen to 34,596. That's according to the Gazan Health Ministry. In a separate development, the Israeli Foreign Minister, Israel Katz, has denounced the Colombian President, Gustavo Petro, for deciding to break diplomatic ties with Israel over the ongoing conflict. Mr. Katz accused Petro on social media of being a hateful anti-Semite. Petro has criticised Israel's military operations against Hamas and requested to join South Africa's lawsuit at the International Court of Justice, which accuses Israel of genocide. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Hundreds of helmeted police muscled their way into a central plaza of the University of California at Los Angeles early on Thursday to dismantle a pro-Palestinian protest camp attacked the previous night by pro-Israel supporters. The pre-dawn police crackdown at UCLA marked the latest flashpoint for mounting tensions on U.S. college campuses, where protests over Israel's conduct of the war in Gaza have led to student clashes with each other and with law enforcement. At Columbia University, tensions between the administration and students protesting over Israel's war in Gaza have reached the point that scores of New York City police marched onto campus to clear an encampment and arrested demonstrators who had commandeered a classroom building. This was the second time in as many weeks that the administration has called on police to control the protests. Students have been suspended and threatened with expulsion, and police are now stationed around the clock on campus. Elsewhere, British authorities have started to detain migrants in preparation for them to be sent to Rwanda in the next 9 to 11 weeks. Government sources said the groundwork is being laid to implement Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's recently passed immigration policy, as Linda Baldoni reports.
Images released by Britain's Interior Ministry show a man being put in a van by immigration enforcement officials and another being led out of his house in handcuffs. British authorities confirmed the photos are of two so-called illegal asylum seekers, and they document the first step of implementation of a bill approved by Parliament last month that foresees the deportation to Rwanda of those who arrive in Britain without permission. Prime Minister Sunak, who's expected to call an election later this year in which observers say illegal migration is likely to feature prominently, wants the first flights to take off in July. More than 7,500 migrants have arrived in England on small boats from France so far this year. The government says the new law will deter people from making the perilous trip across the English Channel. Five people died trying to make the crossing just last week. Humanitarian organisations and rights groups who are opposed to the policy are expected to launch challenges to stop the flights from taking off after the UK Supreme Court declared the policy unlawful last year. Care for Calais, a refugee charity, said the detentions had started on Monday. It said the charity's helpline had received dozens of calls from people whom it said are very frightened. Catholic aid agencies have strongly condemned the bill, saying it lacks compassion and international responsibility and fails to treat people with dignity and respect. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Meanwhile, some 300 parish priests from around the world gathered this week in Sacrofano, just outside of Rome, for a five-day meeting dedicated to listening, prayer and discernment. The aim of the meeting was to address the question of how to be a local synodal church on mission. Today, Pope Francis sent the priests a heartfelt letter of encouragement. In his letter, he expressed his appreciation for the generous work the priests do daily to sow seeds of the gospel throughout the world. The Holy Father also acknowledged the great diversity of the realities facing these pastors, observing that bringing their varying perspectives and experiences enriches the process of synodality as well as the church as a whole. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
The church could not go on without your dedication and your pastoral service, Pope Francis told parish priests in a letter he sent them on the occasion of the international meeting, Parish Priests for the Synod. Pastors, he insisted, know from within the life of God's people, including their joys, hardships, resources, and needs. For this reason, a synodal church needs its parish priests, the Pope stressed, saying that without them, we will never be able to learn how to walk together. The Lord, the Pope said, asks us today to listen to the voice of his Spirit and to advance in the direction that he points out to us. Of one thing we can be sure, he said, the Lord will never leave us without his grace. With this sentiment, Pope Francis went on to offer three suggestions to inspire parish priests in their activity and their mission. First, the Pope urged them to live out their specific ministerial charism in ever greater service to the varied gifts that the Holy Spirit sows in the people of God. Second, he urged them to practice the art of discerning together as a community. And third, he encouraged them to base everything they do on a spirit of sharing and fraternity among themselves and their bishops. The Pope underscored that both the Synodal and Missionary Church and the ongoing Synod for a Synodal Church, Communion, Participation, and Mission needs parish priests and their voice. The Holy Father reassured the priests, calling them dear brothers, saying that he is at their side in this process in which he himself is taking part. Pope Francis concluded by imparting upon them his apostolic blessing, asking for their prayers and encouraging them to stay close to Our Lady, who always shows us the way. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
One of the 300 priests who gathered in Rome to discuss how to implement synodality at the local level was the Reverend Clinton Ressler, a priest of the Diocese of Galveston in Texas. He spoke to Vatican Radio's Joseph Tulloch about his experience of that week-long meeting.
Through the intense conversations in the Spirit, we're really being challenged to listen in depth, and it gets tiring. You know, we're there for hours. Now, we got up and had breaks, but the ability to listen to someone's experience and then to ask more about it. So there was real relationship building. It felt very quickly like we had become brothers.
Did you have the impression that people coming from different areas had different concerns? Or did you pick out maybe that actually there were things that were sort of universal? What was that like?
Yeah, the commonality is that a pastor is concerned about his parish, his people. The relationship in which you give yourself away day after day to people who come to you seeking the truth, seeking all kinds of different things, not just sacraments, but the real presence of a shepherd. So we had all that in common. But then for some, their parishioners are struggling with real poverty that we don't know in the United States. Or they're dealing with, you know, institutional violence, you know, and warfare. The variety of culture, also in terms of a religious sense, so that one person is a Catholic in a world that's almost all Muslim, you know, and how do they negotiate that? It changes the script a lot. And one person was from Turkey, and there's a lot of wonderful things to say about Turkey, and yet there's also limitations imposed, you know, by that that government. So there were things like that that were expressed. So there's both a commonality and the diversity of concrete, you know, challenges.
That was the Reverend Clinton Ressler, a priest of the Diocese of Galveston, Texas, in Rome to discuss implementing synodality at the local level. And he was speaking there to Joseph Tulloch. And finally, senior clergy from the Anglican Communion are in Rome this week for the body's 2024 primates meeting. On Thursday morning, participants, including the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, met with Pope Francis in the Vatican. Speaking to the Communion, Pope Francis said that even the very earliest Christians had their disagreements. Joseph Tulloch.
This is the first time that the Anglican primates meeting, which brings together senior clergy from throughout the Anglican Communion, has been held in Rome. On Thursday, participants met with Pope Francis in the Vatican. The Pope began his address to them by thanking Archbishop Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, for his presence, noting that he began his service as Archbishop at around the same time that he had become Bishop of Rome. Since then, the Pope said, "We have had many occasions to meet, to pray together, and to testify to our faith in the Lord. Thank you for this fraternal cooperation on behalf of the Gospel." Pope Francis went on to thank the gathered Anglican bishops for having chosen Rome, the city of the Apostles Peter and Paul, as the location for their meeting this year. "I realise," the Pope said, "that the role of Bishop of Rome is still a controversial and divisive issue among Christians." He quoted Pope Gregory the Great's definition of the Bishop of Rome as the Servus Servorum Dei, or the servant of the servants of God, suggesting that it accurately captures the reality that the Pope's authority can never be detached from his service to the Christian community. For this reason, Pope Francis stressed, it is necessary to engage in a patient and fraternal dialogue on this subject, a dialogue which, leaving useless controversies behind, strives to understand how the ministry of the successor of Peter can develop as a service of love for all. A final theme of the Pope's address were the lessons that the earliest church might offer for modern ecumenism. "We often forget," the Pope noted, "that even the earliest Christians, who had known the Lord and encountered him after he rose from the dead, were divided in their understanding of the faith. We, like them," Pope Francis suggested, "must learn to entrust ourselves to the Holy Spirit." The Pope said that by praying and listening to one another and seeking to understand each other's perspectives, we could be drawn into ever closer communion by the Holy Spirit. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our website, www.vaticannews.va. And then you can also catch our latest updates on Facebook, X and Instagram. Many thanks this afternoon go to Daniele Giorgi in studio. In the Vatican, I am Francesca Merlo.